This is Father Lawrence Frizzell. The Kinship of Catholics and Jews is a program sponsored by the Institute of Judeo-Christian Studies, Seton Hall University. I'm the director of the Institute and moderator of this program. With me today is Mrs. Mary K. Stebbins. She is the wife of Dr. Michael Stebbins, who has been a guest for WSOU and several occasions for the Kinship of Catholics and Jews. So I welcome you, Mrs. Stebbins, and tell us a little bit about the areas of work that you've been doing and what you've been accomplishing here at Seton Hall University.
Well, thank you so much, Father Larry, for having me this morning, and I'm really glad to be here. We always love a chance to tell people what God's like, and that's really my commission. That kind of came from God in a moment of healing. So kind of our what's been going on for us was just a long family story that pretty much walked into any rough experience most families could have. And what that did was give us a platform for talking with other people and normalizing their experiences and letting them see us still standing because of our sweet Holy Spirit, because of the Lord. And it became a great encouragement, which then turned into a ministry, which was Look for the Blessing Ministries, now is reincorporated as a nonprofit 501c3 as You Are Ministries. And the reason for the name change was just as the ministry evolved, the website, and working on my book, it just became clear that that was the heartbeat moment where people could enter a door was as they were, as they are. And that's how God came to me. So just to evolve, we figured out I had to start a website because you can only have so many coffees with so many people and so many follow-up moments. And so we're going to start to use the website to help communicate some of this truth to people and encouragement of where God is and that there's an overflow with him for everything that could happen with us and for us. And I'm working on a book that's putting a lot of this out there. So it's in its fourth edit and kind of restructuring going on.
So the topic of your book is focused on your ministry. And over the years.
And surrender.
Tell us a little bit about how this book project came into being.
Thank you. I think it's yet another way to get some of the story out there, but to encourage people that his plan is good and only good, no matter what we're seeing in the moment. And the project really came to be because when God, I was healed in a miracle in 2007. And it was life-changing, obviously. And he said, God said, this is not only for me, but for everyone. And so he challenged me to walk people into the moment of a miracle and to teach people that this should be more our everyday experience. That's what he wants for us. We pray, you know, on earth as it is in heaven in the Our Father. And he intends some of that kingdom to be now, not the perfection of it, but parts of it. And so there's way more than we acknowledge that is around us. So God, he taught me about the fraction, and I speak of that in the book. We receive a fraction of what he's trying to give us all around us, and we produce about a fraction of what he'd have us do in the world for his good. And so we're just going to change that. We're going to change that fraction into the whole in the power of the Spirit. And in the book, in the moment of the miracle, he taught me surrender prayer. And so I teach that in the book. And it's an interactive book. There's activations to do throughout the chapters to kind of really, it's about you, the reader. I give my experience up front because a witness testimony stirs faith. And then we just walk through together, like really much the model of girlfriends at coffee. I call them my coffee girls. And that connection we establish is modeled on the connection we have with God. And so we have a lot of these earthly connections and just finding out where they come from, these earthly models that we see in our life that work for us. So I show the reflection of our connection with God in the world. We talk about what he's like. We talk about what real surrender is. And I really make the point in the book that what I found in that moment of desperation, and desperation is a doorway to relief, to God's love, to something more. But in that desperation, I found a new surrender, which is giving into him, not giving up. And it's a supernatural definition of surrender. And so I kind of walk people through what I call the five moments of surrender, not steps. I don't want an equation because that's not what it was. The moments circled back on one another. Mm-hmm. And so we do the five moments in there and just experiment with that, being in the valley of a miracle, being in his arms. And I just challenge to walk out differently, walk in overflow, walk in an overflowing cup instead of an empty, with your coffee girls, with God. So it's a book for women, this first book. And I hope that it sets a lot of people free.
As you mentioned, the Our Father, order of the petitions, of course, is very, very significant. And so the Thy Kingdom Come is the orientation of every human life and the whole history of the world. The universe is moving toward its consummation in the service and the love of God. Now, the first two petitions balance each other, because Thy Kingdom Come can lead certain people to a kind of enthusiasm that the end is near. And we are sometimes finding that people try to calculate when the end of the world is in place. And very often this end of the world time is rather negative, as if things might drop off into nothingness.
Yeah.
Thy Kingdom Come is the petition that orients us to the consummation of history, the fulfillment. The next petition draws us into the realization that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that day-to-day life is always to be lived in the conscious understanding that one is in the whole community, the whole world is in the constant presence of God. And that, of course, Amen. That goes back to the Jewish tradition at Mount Sinai. Moses is told to make the tabernacle, the tent, and the Ark of the Covenant, and everything related to worship in the according to the model, tavnit is the Hebrew word, that God has shown Moses on the mountain. Yeah. So Moses has this insight into the heavenly reality, which he's going to communicate then on earth. And so the Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is challenging us, no matter what stage or place we are in history. We don't have to be concerned about that moment of the consummation, but because the kingdom is already inaugurated.
Yes.
We're in that type of relationship that opens up marvelous possibilities and, of course, great challenges.
Yes.
Because this means the imitation of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The great challenge to bring into human relationships the wonderful sense of God's presence and the reality which is manifested in the wonderful attributes that God has communicated to humanity. And these attributes, of course, are summarized in the phrase, God is love.
Uh-huh.
The imitation of God is to be the manifestation of divine love.
Right.
Human situations in the human context of daily life. Yeah. So your work is very important to have ordinary people grapple with these profound questions, which can, of course, and are intended to be transformative.
We can only imitate God as we are filled up with the Spirit.
Right.
And so, yeah, circling around and finding your way with him. Just sometimes just knowing, telling someone that it is indeed possible and you stand by that new promise. Mm-hmm. because it seems so distant for sometimes in all of our days. But this is our call and this is our possibility and this is our promise from him.
And this is, and so the yes of accepting the mystery of life and the dynamics of growing into more profound human relationships, all of these relationships on what we could call the horizontal level within the family, within the working place, within the community. There are several circles in which, or circumferences within which we function. Mm-hmm. In all of these, the challenge is to bring something of a profound realization that no matter what the challenges are at a given moment, there is always the openness that God can transform this moment.
Right.
And bring us into a deeper level of consciousness, of awareness of how God's love and God's work is being accomplished.
Absolutely. Yeah, in the book, I use the model of relief, the word relief a lot, because we're all in search of that. We all have needs, whether it's just being hungry and then satisfying that, and that model is built on his supernatural model of his tugging on us. And that relief translates eventually in the book, of course, just that supernatural lasting love, lasting relief, different from our temporary reliefs. But yeah.
Yes, and the way in which people are uplifted in time of trial, grapple with the issues that relate to their personal responsibilities, and then try to see that the gifts of each moment are related profoundly to the total goal to which God has called all humanity and indeed all creation. So our place in creation is one of tremendous responsibility. Mm-hmm. More and more people are recognizing, I think, that the impact of human decisions is going to have a ripple effect on the rest of the universe around us, or the rest of this planet in any case.
Certainly.
So your book dimension is interactive. So this means it's not just a print copy, but you're going to be on the internet, is it?
So I hope to have print and the ebook, and in there you can do a lot more than, but you'll also have the choice of the, write in your book, read it. Okay. And the ebook would have more links that you could go to support what's being talked about in the book.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I look forward to that.
Yes. Yeah. So that can be a growing process then. With the ebook, you can have a second edition and so on.
Yes. Yes.
Rather easily.
And we see more books to come. We do a lot of supporting other families and in the behavioral health area as well. And so there's a lot of angles that I and Mike and I would like to put out there in print and on the internet for accessibility, for ease, encouragement, normalization, and walking people into God's hands.
And so what is your schedule, do you think, for publication?
I hope this edition, this edit restructuring is due July 31st. And then I'm hoping my editor, I have a great editor in England who's written her own stuff and ghostwrites, and I'm so excited about this collaboration. It's just been fabulous. And I write about addiction in the book, and I went through that in my life, and she did too. And it just really, we have a lot of parallel experiences. So we're excited. So hopefully she'll have it for a bit after I get back to her, and I'll do yet another, but maybe December. You know, being my first book, it's just hard to learn how all this timing works. But yeah.
Well, you know, we'll hope that everything will fall into place as well.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
And then with the new possibilities of the internet, the second edition and so on, developments should be rather rather easy to come by.
So who
is the person in England that you're working with?
Catherine Kemp. Yeah, she's in Hastings. I think she's out by the sea. Yes. And yeah, she has a nonprofit herself having to do with recovery.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, she's marvelously talented.
Oh, good. So, well, it's great that you've made a connection then.
Thank you. Yes, it is.
So now your involvement with this ministry is related to a number of other contexts in which you've been mm-hmm. working over the years.
Yeah.
Tell us about your work in regard to university settings.
Yes, in college, I grew up in high school and college being a part of Youth Encounter and College Encounter Ministries out of Baltimore Diocese, led by Brother Kaz. He was an amazing individual, not with us anymore, but in spirit. And it was very focused on Jesus, the person, and your identity, and the Trinity, and how this, your faith is a very personal thing. He will encounter you, thus Encounter Ministries. And it really sunk in for me. And so all along I was having kind of transformational experiences. And in college I ended up, we had a consensus process to elect our student campus ministers through each year. I was at James Madison University in Virginia. And that one year the consensus was that I would serve. And it was a very humbling and amazing experience to just be present to a campus like that. I think at that point it was about 10,000 students, and we had a very large, James Madison, we had a very large Catholic campus membership and attendance and mass, believe it or not. And just having that playground to develop programs and have encounters with people in a campus setting was just really changing for me, really transformational for me. We developed even a group called CIA, Catholics in Action. Just learning how to lead in your faith. And you just do the next thing and you don't know how to do it. But just watching what God can do. So it was a neat call in my life. I'm very grateful for it, and gave me confidence that God could use me as I was.
Yeah, certainly.
As I was.
Certainly, everything is building then.
Yeah.
Process. And we, when we look back in our lives, then what from the point of view of youth, people, cannot seem to see how these things are connected.
Right. And you see how they prep you for the next season, because the minute I graduated college, I married my first husband. And then within 2 weeks, it was an abusive situation. And just what the grace I had before that to end up where I am today, the grounding, the seeds, the encouragement. I knew where my feet were. I couldn't remember in certain moments, but I found them again in the Holy Spirit. So it's awesome.
Sure, yes. So now, besides these background studies that you've engaged in, the work that you did in college years, now you've been involved in family and mental health issues. And so tell us a little bit about that aspect of your work.
Yes, we tend to be somewhat gently outspoken about mental health issues and behavior health issues, just because Mike and my first husband had mental illness, had addiction issues, ended up with suicides, and it has come through in some of our kids as well, and the trauma that we've suffered, and then I became addicted through all of my pain and suffering that was going on in my body, lots of different conditions plus trauma. And so we've had to humbly walk in that and help other people get free. We've learned one of our favorite therapies that we've learned. Our daughter has borderline personality disorder and bipolar, among other things, one of the five kiddos. We learned dialectical behavior therapy. And that is a kind of a on steroids cognitive behavioral therapy type of thing, further developed. And so we're big proponents of that. Dealing with acceptance and change is the theme of this therapy, not just change or not just acceptance. I'm fine how I am, yay me. But it is both, which allows for growth, which allows for change, which allows for relief. And so we really do share our raw experiences. And I do some of that in the book to say there's hope.
Yeah.
God can change. And there's great therapy over there. Our kids grew up calling them feelings doctors of their own naming. And there's some not so good therapy. And we're proponents of that. One suggestion we always give, number one, admit what's going on and do it in a safe place. And try it three times. So we always say, try a practitioner three times. The first time, you know, there's a lot of confusion and threatening feelings sometimes. The second time, you come back with judgments from the first time. And the third time, a lot gets clarified and you can tell if there'll be a useful bond there. So we do say that. And there's a lot of good treatment out there and a lot of hope.
Recently, you... an address at the New Ulm Women's Conference in New Ulm, Minnesota, of course, is the setting then for a lecture you gave. And so tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, I do 3-day retreats. I do single sessions, speaking engagements, personal prayer, you know, one-on-one prayer, healing prayer. And obviously I believe in healing. At the New Ulm conference, they invited me and I gave a single talk and then I did their women's conference. The single talk was Our Catholics Christians, which is kind of a tongue in cheek as far as what people, a lot of evangelicals or Protestants sometimes will say, well, Catholics aren't even Christians. And a lot of Catholics will live as though they're not even Christians. So I kind of went at it from both angles and people seem to enjoy that. Exploring that. And then secondly, one of the big themes in my ministry is God is big, which was the theme for the conference I did. And it's God is big, big enough even for the little things. Yeah. And so we just explored what was our truth about that, really starting from square one, not even starting from Catholicism, but just is God, is he big? What does that mean for you? What are your mantras that you say and you walk in them and would you like to? And so we just kind of took it from there. And I've also done a full three-day retreat based on the book, which I got to do the initial tryout of that this past fall, which was really fun. So kind of developing through the 3 days as the book develops, walking it out in your life.
And this retreat then is in person or is it a
it was in person. It was in person. Yeah. I did it with a group of military women, either in the military or wives of, and it's kind of the surrender retreat, basically.
And so this is a possibility then for the future when you have your book.
Absolutely.
You'll be able to use this context of engaging people as groups.
Yes.
And personal reflection contexts,
right,
as well as the using the internet.
Mm-hmm. I'm also in process of developing Women at the Well. The pilot program is going in South Dakota, and it is based in the week before the readings on Sunday, reading them, meeting up with other women, giving commentary on the readings from the team that leads Women at the Well. But also there's lots of components in the first half of it that really focus on God is alive in the mass, God is alive in your life. We give testimony of our interactions with God if you're on the team, and do worship, praise and worship, music and singing and prayer and praying over people and just teaching people how to actually pray in the moment. I find a lot of Catholics and other faiths say, I'll pray for you. And then we walk away. Yeah. But what we need to do is take hands right then when two or more, and just call on God right then and there when we're together. And so I just do a lot of that in that program too. So that's in its developing stages.
Yeah, good. And so the delicate question of praying in a group, of course, is to be sensitive to each person's background. Uh-huh. And draw out the possibilities. And so you just mentioned where two or three are gathered together,
yeah,
where am I in the midst of them? And so this saying of Jesus, of course, is very profound and is one of the manifestations of its presence in the Catholic circles, in specifically Christian context. And uh-huh. when we are drawn, as you mentioned, to the liturgy and to the readings. For our listeners, of course, many people would know that in the Jewish tradition and in the Christian traditions, the ancient traditions always had a lectionary, a selection of readings according to the Sabbath for the Jewish people,
yeah,
or the Sundays. And that tradition was rooted in the synagogue experience of ancient times. And now the tradition in the Catholic Church is having a three-year cycle for Sundays. And that's been taken up by quite a number of Protestant communities as well, having a three-year lectionary, a wide exposure to the riches of the sacred scripture. And so those are new developments in the context for Catholics, in the context of the Second Vatican Council.
Yeah.
And we're now drawing the fruit of that 50-year experience of a three-year cycle for Sundays and a two-year cycle for weekdays. So, Ms. Stebbins, we're working here at Seton Hall to develop certain insights and develop the perspectives that have been very much part of your life. And so I'm very happy to have you with me today for the Kinship of Catholics and Jews.
Yes.
And, thank you very much for joining me. And we'll have our listeners join us again next Sunday at 11 a.m.
Thank you. And we're so grateful to our Jewish brothers and sisters. Amen.